that this is a subject that the Lord would have us to deal with tonight. I believe that the Lord has made no mistake. It's a number of months now since our brother Colin booked me and asked me if I would speak on the subject, is there really a devil? And young people, tonight I don't know how you stand before the Lord. I don't know why you're in this meeting. I don't know who has brought you. I don't know what your attitude or idea of this meeting is. But one thing I do know is that the Lord has you here for a purpose. And the devil ultimately wants to wreck your life. I want to tell you that tonight, young people, because I know it to be true. The devil wants to wreck your life. And I believe that this message tonight may be a warning shot for some young person here in this meeting. This could be a warning shot for you tonight. Have you ever heard the devil, that subject, preached on before? Have you ever stopped to give the subject of the devil much thought? Young people, the devil wants to wreck your life. And we want to establish three very simple things tonight. We want to establish, where did the devil come from? We want to think about, what was the devil? What was his origin? What was he? And the last thing we want to conclude with was, what does the subject of the devil have to do with me? Now, whether you're saved here tonight or not, a backslider, or whatever way you stand before the Lord, maybe you say, what does this subject have to do with me? Well, it can be applied to us all here tonight. And we want to look at what the Lord has to teach us from His Word. If you could turn, please, to Genesis chapter 3. Turning to the book of Genesis and to the chapter 3. It's a vast subject. And there's a lot of references that we could use to illustrate what we have to say. But we want to go back to the very beginning. Genesis chapter 3 and the verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. You will know the serpent here is the devil, of course. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it. Neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, you'll notice he blames the woman whom thou gavest to be with me. She gave me of the tree, and I did eat. So in other words, he's not only blaming the woman, but he's also blaming God, because it's your fault. You gave the woman to me. Verse 13, and the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. So Eve, she blames the serpent. They don't want to take the blame themselves. Amen, and we know that God always blesses the reading of His precious Word. Let's just pray. We need the Lord's help tonight. The devil isn't happy that we're dealing with this subject, and we need the Lord's help. If you're saved in the meeting tonight, you pray that the devil will be defeated, and that we might know help of God. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for all that has gone before. We thank You, Lord, for the messages in song, for the choruses, for the reading of Thy precious Word. We praise Thee, Lord, even for the band of young people, and those, Lord, that have met with us here tonight in this building. We pray now, Lord, as we deal with this subject, that You'll hedge us about in Thy precious blood. Lord, defeat the devil tonight. We know, Lord, the devil is a defeated foe. We thank Thee that You had the victory on the cross at Calvary. But, Lord, we ask that You'll drive him far from this place. Hedge us about in Thy precious blood. Lord, may Thy word have free course tonight. Give us words to speak to this Thy people. For we pray it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Whenever we come to deal with a subject like the devil, we always have to remember that God is sovereign. God is a sovereign God, and God is an omnipotent God. Now, omnipotent simply means that God is all-powerful. So God is sovereign and all-powerful. Nothing happens without God's say-so. The unfortunate thing today is that society, the race of man, give great attention to Satan. They give great attention to the devil. Now, I don't know how often or if you have ever stopped to think about the devil. I don't know who you are tonight. I don't know how you stand before the Lord. But what is your attitude towards the devil? The devil wants to come into your life, and the devil wants to wreck your life. Now, if we look at the world around us, and there's a lot of unacceptable things are happening in this day and generation. If you think of films, if you think of books, if you think of music, if you think of games, and even worship, the devil is coming into all of those things. And it is by those things, along with many others, that the devil wants to use to wreck your life. Now, if you're a Christian here tonight, the devil wants to destroy your life. He wants to destroy your testimony. He wants to pull you down. He wants to hold you back in the Christian life. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, the devil doesn't want you to get saved. The devil wants you to stay in your sin. The devil wants to hold you in your sin. The devil is a master deceiver. You maybe think you're here tonight and you're a smart person. You maybe think that you're shrewd. Let me tell you something. The devil is a lot shrewder and smarter than you are. He fools some people subtly. As we have read in Genesis chapter 3, he came so subtly to Eve. Others, he goes and sends them in the way of rebellion. And if you notice there, Adam, he almost rebelled against God by saying it's your fault. The reason that I sin, the reason that I have fallen into sin is because of you, because you gave me the woman who led me into sin. So he rebels against God. The difficulty is, anything that causes man to search for answers or a power outside of God, any other source other than that of God, is from the devil. Let me say that again. Anything that causes man to search for answers or power or satisfaction from any other source than God is of the devil. So let me tell you tonight, if you have found satisfaction, if you have peace in your life, if you have joy in your heart, if it's not of God, it's of the devil. It's as simple as that. The devil is a liar. He's a thief. He's a deceiver. He's an accuser. And the devil wants as many as possible to go to hell. The devil wants as many as possible to be lost. He wants them down forever. He uses many different things. We think of horoscopes. We think of Ouija boards. We think of mediums. We think of satanic games. We think of rock music. Innocent things, maybe, as magazines, films, programs on television, friends that we keep, things that we do, places that we go. But all of these things, strong as they are, and weak as we are, that we sometimes fall into these things, none of these things are stronger than the Word of God. So when dealing with a subject like this, I can't stand here tonight and tell you what I know on the subject. We must come to the Bible, because the Bible is God's Word and it is the power of all things. God's Word. Through Jesus, we have the victory. Now, the devil is a defeated foe tonight. He was defeated upon the cross at Calvary. The Lord Jesus had the victory there. He provided a way of salvation for you and for me. But the devil is a very real enemy of the Christian and even of the unsaved person, because he wants to destroy our lives. And in dealing with a subject like this, there are many questions that come into our minds. Questions maybe like, have you ever wondered where the angels came from? Where did Satan come from? Some people would maybe ask, what about demons? Tonight we will discover how God created all spiritual things. Because God, the first thing we want to notice tonight is God created all of the spirits. In the beginning, God created every single spiritual being. God created all things. Our brother was telling you of a petition tonight to encourage you to sign it if you're a student, that creation, or that something created all of this that we have in our schools. God created everything. The Bible says when God created the heavens and the earth and all that within them is, God created everything. So he created all spiritual beings. The Bible gives these spirits different names. Some they call spirits, some angels, cherubim, seraphim, the host of the Lord or the host of heaven, powers, principalities, rulers in high places, stars or morning stars. All of those things, they're spiritual beings. They're described throughout the whole of Scripture, and God created them all. Before the beginning, none of these things were alive, because God created them all. God gave them life. They would not have life if God didn't give them life. Let's turn to John chapter 1, verse 3. John chapter 1, verse 3. If you have a Bible with you tonight, I would appreciate it if you turn it up, because I want to show you tonight from God's Word what I have to say, and then you yourself will have the evidence for yourself. John 1, verse 3. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So the Bible is clear on this. All things that are made were made by God. Nothing was made without God. So all spiritual life, all created beings were made by God. Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their host, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee. That's a good reference for you if you're taking notes. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 6. So not only did God make all of the heavens, but he made all of the host that is found in heaven. One thing we have to remember tonight is that God is superior and greater than the spirits which he created. He created these spirits. He lived before them, because we know that God is eternal. He is the one that made them, and he is the one that gave them life. Now, God didn't give the spirits material bodies. A spirit is a spirit. They are not made with flesh and blood. A spirit can move wherever they want to be, but they can't be everywhere like God, because God is omnipresent. Are you with me tonight? A spirit can move, they can go where they want to be, but they can't be omnipresent. They can't be present everywhere like God. They don't have bodies, but sometimes they appear as people. Sometimes they appear as other forms, but they can't be everywhere like God. So God is superior. The spirits were created to serve God. That was their first and foremost task, if you like. God is supreme and sovereign. The spirits were created by him to love him and to serve him as the host in heaven. In the beginning, all of the spirits were God's angels. The word angel simply means a messenger or a servant. So God created all of these angels, all of these spiritual beings, to be servants to him. God created them, so they belonged to him. They were his creation. They belonged to him. They were created by God for God to do with them whatever he pleased. The spirits were created perfect by God. God can't create anything that is not perfect. It's as simple as that. Why? Because God himself is holy. God himself is completely perfect. God himself is holy. So therefore, because of his holiness, because of what God is, he can't create anything that is less than perfect. And he can't do anything that is less than perfect either. So maybe something has happened in your life. I don't know what it is. And you're almost going to blame God, because it's, as far as you're concerned, an imperfection in your life. Some problem, some difficulty. You feel let down, some tragedy. And it's almost God's fault. Listen, God can't do anything less than perfect. God cannot create any evil because God is holy. Everything God says, everything God thinks, everything God does, everything about God is perfect, because he is perfect and he is holy. The spirits were created with great wisdom and strength. Turn over to Psalm 103 and the verse 20. Psalm 103 and the verse 20. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength. Or if you have a margin, it will say mighty in strength. That do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. So these angels are strong. These angels are full of wisdom. All of these spiritual created beings, they're intelligent, but they are not all-knowing. What is another word for all-knowing? Omniscient. Omniscient is an all-knowing God. There's a little way I have of remembering these things. Omniscient, if you think of an S in omniscient, the C, S, I see everything. So God is omniscient because he sees everything. So God, by seeing everything, he knows everything. All right? God is an omniscient God. In other words, he knows everything. God knows all things. God knows everything about you. But the angels, with all of their intelligence, they are not all-knowing. So these attributes are solely for God. Angels, powerful as they are, intelligent as they are, they're not all-knowing. Angels are stronger than us. But God has given them power to do amazing things. But they're not as powerful as God. God is wiser and God is stronger than all of the spirits. Remember that. The spirits are innumerable. Innumerable. What way do you want to pronounce it? Innumerable tonight. The spirits are innumerable. How do we know? Turn over to Revelation 5, verse 11. Revelation 5 and the verse 11. It's good to turn up the scripture because it allows you to get to know your Bible. I would encourage the young people to do that. Always bring your Bible to church. I know of churches and they're making it easy for you. They're putting it onto overhead and, well, you just sit and enjoy the sermon. You don't need to look up the verses. Young people, don't go down that line, because then the Bible is a foreign book to you. You'll not know the scripture because you'll never have to find it yourself. The best thing to know the Bible, the best way to get to know the Bible is to look through it and find things yourself. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 11. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Is anybody a calculator here tonight? Can anybody tell me what number that is? I don't know if you're any good at maths. I wasn't that hot at maths. But I'll tell you something. What I do know is that 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands is a big number. And I have no answer for you tonight because it tells you thousands of thousands. So we don't know how many thousands of thousands. It's an innumerable number of angels and spirits that God has created. The number of them was a vast number. Upon that crowd, nobody can number them. So the spirits are innumerable. The spirits also lived in heaven. All of these spirits lived in heaven with God at the very beginning. Where is heaven? That's another question. Well, I don't know where it is, but one thing I do know, it's not on earth. And one thing I'm sure of, it's a real place. And let me tell you tonight, whether you're young or whether you're old in this meeting tonight, make sure you're ready for that place. Because I'll tell you, it's real. And I know that you want to be there one day. And the only way that you will be there is if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. And one thing I'm sure for heaven. Heaven is God's home. It tells us that in Psalm 11, verse 4. Heaven is a place that is better than we can imagine. Turn up that Psalm. Psalm 11, 4. And we'll see what it has to teach us. Psalm 11, verse 4. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try, the children of men. So heaven, that's where the Lord is. Heaven is a great place. And heaven is a place where all of us should want to be one day. If we're saved, that's where we will be. Heaven, I can't wait to get there. But I know that I have a work to do down here before I go there. So if you're young here tonight, you serve the Lord with all of your might and all of your power. The devil doesn't want you to serve the Lord. The devil doesn't want you to be a diligent Christian. The devil wants you to waste your life. Let's be realistic about it tonight. If you're saved, you can't be lost. If you're saved here tonight with all the power the devil has power, but his power doesn't supersede God's power. With all the power the devil has, he can't take you off God. Because the Bible says, no man, nothing shall pluck him out of my Father's hand. So if you're saved tonight, you're saved. But one thing the devil doesn't want you to do is to give the best years of your life over to the Lord. We could go through scripture tonight and give you examples. If we think of Lot, Lot was a man who was saved, because it tells us in the New Testament that he was a righteous man. Lot, I believe, tonight is in heaven. But I believe that Lot got into heaven by the skin of his teeth. He wasted his life. We know the story of Lot. He lived in Sodom and Gomorrah. He followed after a sinful pathway. But Lot's in heaven. But he wasted an opportunity to serve the Lord. And young people, don't waste your life. As I look across this gathering tonight, there's those who are young, those who are a little younger, and then there's those who are youngest. And I love to fit in that category, brothers. Great. Those that are youngest. Serve the Lord with all your might. I'm telling you, young people, if you want a successful life, if you want a happy life, if you want a good life, give your life to the Lord. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all other things, they'll be added unto you. And the devil, he wants to hold you back. The devil doesn't want you to serve the Lord. Are you with me tonight? He has lost you because you're saved, but the devil doesn't want you to serve the Lord. That's where the devil came from. The devil was a created being. The devil was an angel. He was a spiritual being up there created with God. Another name that he has in the Bible is Lucifer. Lucifer. So let us notice, secondly, Lucifer's original position before God. What was Lucifer? What was he? What was he? God didn't create all of the angels exactly the same. Some were more beautiful and intelligent and wiser than others. It sounds a little bit like us. He didn't create us all the same. He made some more beautiful than others. He made some a little more intelligent than others. And he made some a little wiser than others. Well, I don't know. Maybe you've got all three. I don't know. But I'll settle for two. I'd be happy with two, because intelligence and wisdom, to me, there's not much difference. So if I have beauty and intelligence, well, there you go. But listen till I tell you something. As God created all of those spiritual beings, He didn't create them all the same. The greatest of these was called Lucifer, or his name simply means morning star. God gave Lucifer a very important position in heaven. Lucifer, he was the greatest of angels. In fact, Lucifer was given a place of authority and power over the other angels. Okay, so he was a person that had position. Turn over, keep your finger in Genesis 3, we'll probably go back there. Turn over to Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel 28 and the verse 14. This verse is describing Lucifer. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so that wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou art the anointed cherub. So that was a title that Lucifer had. He was the anointed cherub. And he, like all of God's other creation, was created perfect. Ezekiel 28 verse 15 simply says, Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. So Lucifer was created perfect like everything else. Now, how do we know that this is Lucifer? If you look back in the earlier part of Ezekiel 28, you will see there in verse 2, Thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God. I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man, and not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. Look at verse 8. They shall bring thee down to the pit. And in verse 13, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. I believe that these verses here are describing Lucifer, the morning star, the devil, if you like. He was created perfect in all of his ways from the day that he was created. From that day, he was perfect. He was perfect. Now, don't you be thinking tonight that God created the devil. God created sin. God didn't create sin. When God created Lucifer, he was perfect. That's what it says in verse 15. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created. That was Lucifer. What about Lucifer's rebellion? Lucifer was created by God. He was given the highest position over all of the other angels. Lucifer should have loved, obeyed, and served God. After a time, Lucifer became proud of his beauty, his intelligence, and his wisdom. Pride crept into his heart. Ezekiel 28, verse 17, simply tells us, "Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness." And those other verses, we have read them already in Ezekiel 28. So Lucifer began to become proud of himself. He began to be puffed up. And sin slowly began to creep into his heart. Lucifer's problem was that he wanted to be like the Most High. He wanted to take over God's position. Lucifer wanted to be number one. And Lucifer was also the first to do evil. What is evil? What do you think evil is here tonight? Evil is anything that is different from what God wants or what God agrees with. So if you're here tonight and you're living your life, if you're doing things that are evil, you may be saying, "Mark, I'm not living an evil life. I'm living a reasonable life. My life isn't evil." Evil is anything that is different from what God wants or what God agrees with. So in Lucifer's heart, he wanted to rise above God. He wanted to be as powerful as God. In fact, he wanted to supersede God. Now you maybe ask me tonight the question, if Lucifer was created perfect, how could he rebel? You maybe ask me the question tonight, why did God allow sin into heaven? You maybe ask me the question tonight, if God created Lucifer, how come there was sin in Lucifer's heart? Lucifer made a clear choice to disobey. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. Do we see what it tells us there? Isaiah 14 and the verse 13. "For thou hast said in thine heart," we'll just read verse 12, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." These are all of the things that Lucifer was saying that he was going to do. I will ascend, I will exalt, I will sit, I will ascend, I will be like the Most High. No one ever will come near God. There is only one God. There is only one mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. The difficulty is tonight that we have to remember Lucifer's rebellion was an act of the will. Now, I need you to listen to this so you don't get confused. I'll put it as simply as you can because I like to understand it as well. Lucifer's choice, his rebellion, it was a conscious choice. He rebelled against God and he chose to do so. Are you with me? He chose to go against God. Since the fall, we don't have a choice because we are naturally born in sin. But Lucifer and all of those other spiritual beings, they were created perfect. They were created without sin. Therefore, they had a conscious choice. They had a will. They were able to make a choice. And they chose to disobey God. But from the fall, when Adam and Eve were created in the garden, they were created the same. They were created perfect. And whenever they were placed in the garden, God told them that you can eat of any tree you want except one. And when you eat of that one tree, that's your conscious choice. You have made a clear choice. It was a test of obedience, if you like. God was saying that you can't touch that tree. And if they didn't touch the tree, well, then they obeyed God. But if they did touch the tree, then they disobeyed God. And they failed. And they did fail. And they fell into sin. And from that moment to this, we all have been born in sin. So we don't have the choice. Our choice is, are we going to accept the Lord Jesus Christ to pay the price for our sin? Or are we going to hold on to our sin? Okay, so the devil, his rebellion was an act of the will, a conscious choice to go against God, to rebel against God. But naturally, we are born rebellious. We are born as sinners. The unfortunate thing is, other angels followed Lucifer. Many angels joined with him in the rebellion. Lucifer, he was their leader. They rebelled against God. You can turn over to Matthew chapter 25, and I'm conscious of the time, but Matthew chapter 25 and the verse 41. Matthew 25 and verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. So Lucifer, the devil, he had followers. There were those that followed him. And tonight, if you're here and you're not saved, you are a follower of the devil. You can only follow two people. You can follow God or you can follow the devil. If you're a follower of the Lord, you're saved. You've repented of your sin and you're living every day of your life for the Lord. But if you're here tonight and you're not saved, you don't follow Christ, well then you are following after the devil. The thing to remember is that God knew exactly what the spirits and Lucifer were thinking and planning. Tells us that in Isaiah 14. God created the spirits. He knew everything. He knew their thoughts. He knew their mind. And he knew their intentions. We can't keep secrets from God. He knows your intentions. He knows your thoughts. And he knows right now what you're thinking. We could think of Jonah. Jonah tried to run away and hide from God, but God knew exactly where he was. The portion that we read in Genesis chapter 3, whenever Adam and Eve sinned, God knew where they were. He knew all about them. He knew exactly the way that they were thinking. Nothing can surprise God, because God knows everything before it happens. God knows what we think before we think it. God is all-powerful. He's omnipotent. There's a P in the middle of that word for powerful. So God is powerful because he is omnipotent. He is everywhere because he's omnipresent. Present everywhere, so that's self-explanatory. He sees everything, so God is omniscient. He sees everything. And God is unchangeable. He's immutable. God is unchangeable. He does not change. Hebrews 4 verse 13 says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest, not made known in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him. God knows all things about you, and he knew all about Lucifer and the spirits that were rising up against him. And whenever it did happen, God removed Lucifer and all of his followers from their position. He removed them. He put them out of heaven because God is holy and sin could not abide in heaven. They had to go. And listen here tonight, if you're not saved, you will not be allowed into heaven because there's sin in your heart and God does not allow sin in heaven. Young people tonight, trust Christ as your Savior and your sin will be washed away by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your heart will be made pure and made clean and then and only then will you be ready for heaven. But naturally, as man is born in sin, we are not ready for heaven. God is so holy, and he does not tolerate sin. He loves the sinner, but he does not tolerate sin. Do you think that God would allow Lucifer to be supreme? God would not allow Lucifer to take his position because he is the one and only true God. God was angry. He removed Lucifer. He took away his position, his leadership over all of the other angels. And God also removed the rebellious angels because God is perfect and he has the right to do so. Anybody that does not think or act like God cannot be God's friend. The Bible records the activity of Satan and his demons here on earth. This is such a vast subject tonight. We have said already that these spiritual beings cannot be omnipresent. That means they cannot be everywhere. So, therefore, the devil uses agents. He uses helpers to do his work, to achieve his work. But the devil is not omnipresent, but God is. God is everywhere. He is present everywhere. Turn over to Job chapter 1. Turn over to Job chapter 1. If you're a young person here tonight and you're underestimating the power of the devil, don't be foolish. The devil is a very powerful enemy. Job chapter 1, we know the story of Job. Job chapter 1 verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? Now, if you look in your margin, it'll say there, hast thou set thy heart on him? So, Satan wanted to destroy Job. He had set his heart on Job to destroy him and pull him down. That there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. Basically, what the devil says here to God is, listen, the only reason Job serves you is because of all you've given him. If you take all that away from him, he'll curse you to your face. He only loves you because of what you've given him. And verse 12, And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. What I'm trying to teach you here tonight, young people, is that unless God gives permission, the devil can't touch you. Unless God gives the devil permission. The devil will do nothing to you that God doesn't allow him to. It's clear there in the first chapter in the book of Job. All of the trials and tribulations, and we don't have time to go into that tonight, but all that happened to Job, God allowed it to happen. And young people, maybe there's been a tragedy, a turmoil, a difficulty in your life. God allowed it to happen. The God of heaven, the God that created you and loves you, he allowed it to happen. And it's the same with Job. And one thing we will notice in chapter 2, verse 9, even Job's wife said, curse God and die. But Job didn't. In verse 22 of chapter 1, in all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly, or attributed folly to God. He never blamed God. Not once did Job blame God. Satan only has the power that God allows him to have. And young people tonight, the devil, even though his power is restricted, he does have power. He does have ability, and he is able, and he is willing, and he does want to wreck your life. How do I know that? Because the devil hates anything that God loves, and God loves you here tonight. How do we know that? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus died on the cross for one reason and one reason only, because he loved you. And because he wants to take away your sin. And the devil hates anything that God loves. The devil hates you tonight. All he wants to do is wreck your life and take you to a lost eternity. God prepared the lake of fire for Lucifer and his followers. It tells us that there in Matthew 25, verse 41, and 2 Peter chapter 2, and the verse 4. Listen tonight, young people. The devil is in hell. That's where the devil is. And all those that follow him. Our time is well gone. Our time is well gone tonight. But I couldn't conclude the message tonight by leaving with you. Whenever God created Adam and Eve, he put them into the garden. He put them into the garden. That's my third thing that I want you to consider tonight. What does this have to do with me? What does the subject of the devil have to do with me? Whenever God made Adam and Eve, he put them into the garden. He put them there. Everything was perfect. All they had to do was love, honour and obey God. Everything would be well. At this point in creation, there was no sickness, there was no sorrow, there was no sadness, there was no thorns, there was no weeds. But then, of course, Adam and Eve, they disobeyed God. At this stage, they had a perfect relationship with God. But whenever the devil came in the form of a serpent, he deceived them, he beguiled Eve, and of course we know that they fell into sin. He entered into the serpent. The serpent was more subtle than any other thing God had created. And the serpent was crafty and watchful. And of course, Adam and Eve, they both fell into sin. If you notice there in Genesis chapter 3, the devil never denied what God said. He just caused Adam and Eve to question it. And that's what he does, young people. The devil never denies what God says because he knows it's true. Because he knows that God is all-powerful. But listen, he causes you to doubt. And I don't know why you're here tonight, but you're here. I don't know if you're saved here tonight or you're not. I don't know why you're not saved. Maybe you doubt. Maybe you say to yourself, all of this can't be true. Who made all of this? And you have so many questions in your little mind. That's what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to doubt and question and doubt everything. But listen tonight, very quickly, I want you to see there in verse 5. The devil says to Eve, For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. One thing I want you to notice tonight, and I'm going to conclude with this. The devil didn't tell Eve lies there. Because the devil says to Eve, in the day that you eat of the tree, your eyes will be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now, what Eve probably believed the devil was saying was that they would be like God. They would have power, and they would have all of the attributes that God had. But one thing the devil did say there in verse 5, you will know good, and you will know evil. Before Adam and Eve fell into sin, they didn't know what evil was, because they were created perfect. There was no sin in their heart. They were created perfect. And from the very moment that they did eat, tells us that in verse 6 and 7, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Then they did know what the devil had talked about. Yes, you will know good, and you will know evil. Young people, this is a vast subject. There is so much more that I could tell you tonight about the devil. But one thing I will tell you is this. Just remember, the devil wants to wreck your life. The devil wants to wreck your life. He wants to pull you down. And right now, here tonight, young people, and older people too, the devil doesn't want us to get saved. The devil wants to see you damned in hell forever. He wants to see you lost. He wants to see you lost, separated from Christ for all of time and all of God's great eternity. Let me tell you something here tonight, young people. The devil is very real. If you're saved, the devil is enemy number one, because he wants to destroy your testimony, and he doesn't want to see you do your work for God. Young people, don't let him win. Keep close to the Lord. No matter what happens in life, young people, keep your eyes on the Lord. Should it be in relationships? Should it be in a job? Whatever it is, put God first. And if anybody in your life expects you to do anything less, well, then they're not for you. Put God first, number one. And no matter what you do or where you go in life, keep your eyes on the Lord. And look at what happened to Peter. When he took his eyes off the Lord, it was then he began to sink. And young people, that's true. Keep your eyes on the Lord, firmly fixed on him. And if you're here tonight and you're not saved, the Bible says there that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. What was an angel? A messenger or a servant? Listen, if you're not saved, if you don't love Christ, you're a servant of the devil. The Bible says, can a man serve two masters? He will either love the one and hate the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. Young people, I covet you for Christ tonight. I would love to see you saved, trusting in the Lord for salvation. I don't want the devil to get you. I don't want the devil to make a mess of your life, because I know that's exactly what he wants to do. Jesus died on the cross for you. You don't have to be lost. You can come to Christ tonight. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Thank you for listening so well. And I trust this message has been a challenge and a blessing to your heart. Let's close in prayer. Give thee thanks for thy help and thy